You know, if I would have applied myself, I could have gone to the NBA.
You think so?
Yeah, I think so. But it's just like, it's been done. You know, I didn't want to, I was like, I don't want to be a follower. Hi, I'm Jason Concepcion.
And I'm Shea Serrano. And we are back. We have a new podcast from Wondery. It's called Six Trophies.
Woo!
And it's the f***ing best.
Each week, Shea Serrano and I are combing through all the NBA storylines, finding the best, most interesting, most compelling stories, and then handing out six pop culture themed trophies for six basketball related activities.
Trophies like the Dominic Toretto, I Live My Life a Quarter Mile at a Time trophy, which is given to someone who made a short-term decision with no regard for future consequence.
Or the Christopher Nolan Tenet trophy, which is given to someone who did something that we didn't understand.
Catalina Wine Mixer trophy.
Ooh, the Lauryn Hill, you might win some, but you just lost one trophy. And what's more, the NBA playoffs are here, so you want to make Six Trophies your go-to companion podcast through all the craziness. Follow Six Trophies on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. Listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
Blue Wire.
First pick in the 1991 NBA draft, the Charlotte Hornets select Larry Johnson from University of
I'm not supposed to be here, man. A lot of people from where I'm from, so don't make me.
Charlotte, we're back.
All right, welcome to another Buzz Beat, a Charlotte Hornets podcast. This is Richie, and before we are joined by our awesome guests, we want to remind everyone to take some time out of your day and give us a rating and review on Apple Podcast and or Spotify. It helps us out tremendously. We're going to jump into this interview with sideline reporter for Bally Sports and three-time guest, Ashley Shamedy. Ashley, how's it going?
Hey, this is my third time?
I believe so. I believe so, yes.
Yeah, I think I couldn't remember if it was second or third. Whoa. No, I'm doing good, Richie. Always love hopping on the podcast, talking Hornets basketball. I thought maybe it was my second, but I think you're right. That's exciting.
Yeah, I think the first time we had it, it was with my other co-host. And then last time it was just you and I. Before we hop into the Hornets, I know that you must be a very happy sports fan right now with Georgia and the Braves. With the way that their season ended, right? Like that's got to be like the pinnacle of your fandom, right?
Our assistant coach, Jay Triano, after the Dogs won the national championship, we had a road trip. So we get on the plane and he's like, you know what? I think maybe you're the ticket. I mean, all your teams are winning and now you work for the Hornets. So we're just going to roll with the fact that you and I, of course, was like, no, it is not me, but I'll take it. I'll definitely take it. But no, it's been, man, the Atlanta curse is broken, finally, you know, starting with the Braves. And then, oh my gosh, I actually kind of cried some tears when the Dogs won. And it was just so, so special. And man, I just felt like it was a long time coming. So I'm really happy they were able to pull it out. And I love that school. So I'm really excited about it.
You know, I'm a Florida fan, and I think I told you that on the last episode, but I was rooting for the Bulldogs, and in the back of my mind, I was because I just wanted to see them win. I didn't really care for another Bama title. And I thought, like, knowing that Bama had already beaten Georgia earlier in the SEC championship, it's always hard to beat a team twice. I felt good about Georgia's chances there. And I think the reason that Georgia lost the first time, Bama had way more motivation in that game because Georgia could have lost that game and still made it to the playoffs, which obviously they did. So I think Bama had that extra edge there. But let me ask you this, of the Braves and the Bulldogs, which championship was like more satisfying to you?
Definitely the Bulldogs, and not saying anything against the Braves. I've actually worked a bunch of Braves games and they're like family over there. So I love everything about it, but just graduating from there and then all the crap that I feel like our school has gotten and the football team has gotten over the years. I have a Florida fan who is one of my good friends who is not as kind as you. And I mean, man, has just roasted Georgia for how many years, and same with I have some Clemson fans, and of course, Alabama fans are, I feel like, everywhere. So just to finally, you know, people can't hold a national title over our heads. I mean, of course, now they're going to say, well, you only have this one in the last 40 years, but it doesn't matter. National championship is a national championship. And I'm so, so excited about it. We actually, I work with a couple of Alabama fans, and were all very civil and very friendly, but of course, you know how people can be. So it was very, very satisfying. And, you know, I actually was at that SEC championship game surrounded by Alabama fans, oddly enough. Wow. And man, that was so brutal. I was nervous going in the national championship just because Nick Saban, and I mean, he's just crushed us so many times. And, you know, Bryce Young looked incredible in that SEC championship game. But I actually got to interview Stetson Bennett and Kirby Smart back in August, like before the season even started. And I really respect them. So I was excited about this season coming into it. And then, you know, just to be able to finish it with the national championship, man, cherry on top. It was so wonderful. So I'm really happy. Now we just need the Hornets to go to the playoffs.
There you go.
Literally, Richie, this will be the best sports year of my entire life.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, to me, I have a connection to the Braves because I am a Braves fan. And I just felt like with the way that their season went, like so many things went wrong for them in the beginning of the season with all the injuries and the underwhelming.
Yeah.
And yeah, to win the freaking World Series without Acuña, like I felt bad for him because I know he wanted to be out there so bad, but I would almost say that was more satisfying. But again, I have no connection to the, you know, right. UGA Bulldogs, but let's get into the Hornets. That's why we brought you on and this exciting season that they are having. And like you said, they are pushing for the playoffs. But first, before we get into kind of their performance, how much fun has it been for you guys and the broadcast team this year when there's actually fans and there's that atmosphere back in the arena? Like, how different does that feel to you?
It is night and day. I'm not even going to lie. It is just, I mean, I was just happy to have a season last year, but to have fans back and to go in these arenas and, you know, especially when on the road and to win big games like we just did against the Knicks and then the Celtics, and to have, you know, their fans, you kind of quiet them with big shots or wins down the stretch. And it's a night and day difference. And it charges the team. And, it honestly propels them to win just because, you know, it's something I interviewed Miles after the win in Boston last night. And he was like, yeah, I've never won in this building. Like, he was just so excited about it. And, you know, it wouldn't have felt the same if there were no fans. So I know from a team standpoint, it's just night and day difference. And then obviously Eric Collins, just to have, you know, fans be able to see him in action, and it just makes the whole atmosphere so electric. So I love that, you know, it's a little bit of normalcy, getting to have fans back. It definitely helps in the wins for sure.
Yeah. I guess I didn't think of it from the opposing side too, like Miles Bridges kind of feeding off the opposing crowd and using that to kind of motivate him. I didn't think of it that way either.
Well, for the home wins too, it's like we've had some sellout crowds, and you know, this is my fourth season in Charlotte, and we haven't had, like, I can't remember consecutive sellouts like we've had.
Yeah.
So, man, Buzz City is like, it's unlike anything I've ever seen. I know my family was able to come to a game, and they're like, "Wow, we've never seen this like this before." And I'm like, "I know it is so different, but it's just, it really just is like electric. I mean, you know what it's like. It's crazy, but it helps so much. So yeah. I'm appreciative of them for sure.
If you had to pinpoint like 2-3 things, just kind of from a team perspective, like that have been so instrumental to the success of this team, like what do you think that would be this year?
The defense. That is 100% why they've been able to, I believe they are winners of 9 of their last 12 games. And it really, you know, talking with Coach Borrego and some of the guys, they keep referring back to the Washington game on January 3rd. And, you know, they lost that one in a really close game. And it really was just kind of the defense in the last 2 minutes. I mean, they were shooting lights out, especially like Kuzma. He was shooting lights out that night. But the defense could have held on and won that one. So I just, talking to them, you know, that's where they say a light bulb went off, and they have won 6 of their last 7 after that game. So I don't know what it takes to like finally buy into the defense, because it's something that they've said. I mean, when they've gone on, you know, a couple losing streaks or whatever, they always say that. They're like, "Oh, we know it's our defense, and we know it's that rebounding and rim protection and, you know, everything that encompasses like being a good defensive team." So they've known it, but I don't know. I don't know if they just needed that Washington loss to finally, like they said, have the light bulb go off or what it was. But when they play good defense, it just 100% translates to good offense, makes them have better shots. I mean, and it's a factor in all of their wins, especially this last stretch here of the wins they were able to pile together. But I think it's that. And then the biggest difference I've seen, even like from last year to this year, or from the beginning of the year to now later in the year, the second half beginning, just not hanging their heads when the other team goes on runs. I really have noticed it in the last couple games, maybe the last 2 weeks or so, just being able to, I mean, their mindsets and like the huddles and timeouts, they don't change at all when, you know, if another team goes on a couple runs. Even the last game against Boston, you know, they had back-to-back threes, so that's quick 6 points, and it could have been, it could have gone worse. I mean, they could have lost the game if they didn't really try. Yes, they had built a pretty good lead and it wasn't as threatening, but I just remember in years past, something like that would have spiraled and, you know, probably resulted in a loss. So I don't know if it's just a mature factor or poise, or, you know, coach talks about that a lot. Just the growth in maturity and being poised out there and winning games like that. So in my eyes, it's the defense and then kind of the maturity aspect of it too, which is why I think they've been able to win. So it's been really cool seeing like the growth of that, especially just in, you know, like I said, this is my fourth season. So seeing guys like Miles Bridges come out of his shell. I mean, he was drafted here my first year, and James Borrego came my first year too. And so to see the way Miles has grown tremendously is just, it's really cool to see. And just the whole team, I think, believing in, you know, putting the effort defensively and then staying the course and playing their style of basketball no matter what happens, it has definitely translated into the win. So those are the two things I would probably pinpoint.
Yeah, I like those. Their defense has definitely been better over the past, I would say, 14 days. And like you mentioned, Miles Bridges, like I could just tell from the broadcast, and probably in the last year and a half, he has become more vocal. I mean, obviously he's a younger player, but you need players like him to kind of step up and be vocal in huddles and stuff like that. And it motivates the players to want to do better. And I think the defense is one of those things, like if their defense will take them as far as they want to go. If they have down spurts on the defensive side of the court, their offense is great. Like we all know that, but if they can't put together a string of games on defense, they aren't going to go as far as they can. And I think what's been,
agreeing with you.
I think what's been crazy this year, I mean, more so than last year in terms of like the injuries and the COVID protocols, like the Hornets have done an awesome job of just like weathering that storm and staying in the hunt and staying the course. Like you said, how much of that adversity do you think helps them as they kind of close in towards the second half of this season, as you know, the playoff race continues to build and build and build?
In terms of, I'm not sure if you're speaking about, you know, just being in health and safety protocol and what teams have been able to deal, had to deal with. And, you know, I know no team is immune to it. Every team has had to go through their NBA's health and safety protocol. You know, we had that stretch where we had five guys out with it, and, you know, they're like LaMelo, Terry, Mason, like our starters. So I just remember it was, you know, after that news hit, then we played in Atlanta, and it was just like, you kind of go into it, okay, Cody Martin's our starting point guard, which Cody is wonderful, but obviously that's a new role for him to be a starting point guard for the team. And then you have all these guys out in protocol, and we won that game. And it was just so, that's one of my favorite games for sure, just because of, you know, dealing with the adversity and everything that you just spoke about. But I know every team's had to deal with it, but I do feel really lucky in the sense that, you know, you see some of these teams, like for instance, the Hawks, they, you know, had like 13 guys out at one time. They were just signing guys to 10-day contracts, two-way players, whoever they could get at the moment. And yes, the Hornets have dealt with it as well. You know, Miles went on it, but they were able to kind of do it in spurts a little bit. Like Kelly just got off of it. And, you know, we did have that one chunk where we had a good 5-6 guys that were out. But they have been able to just continue to battle. And I know that's what makes the Hornets so difficult to defend, is their depth and how any night, you know, Miles has had his career night. Kelly has had 37-plus point games before. Of course, Terry Rozier has had that before. We've seen Gordon go off for 30 or more points before. Like, it really, truly is any guy's night. And I know that's what makes them so difficult. And I think that is what is really going to, you know, carry them through as they make this push for the playoffs, is because everyone's not going to have a great shooting night. You know, I know LaMelo didn't have, I think he had like 15 points against Boston, but in terms of what, you know, he averages and what his normal shooting night is like, it wasn't his best shooting night, but he had a triple double. He finished with a triple double. So it's like any guy can really go off. And I think that's really what's going to carry this team as they continue to push for those playoffs.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, U-N-I-F-Y-D, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
These players on this roster don't have a ton of playoff experience. And I don't know if you want to call last year's playoff experience that play-in game. And I'm sure the Hornets are probably hoping to make it into the top six spots where they don't even have to worry about that play-in tournament. Do you buy into like intangibles and like locker room presence, like a Gordon Hayward or Ish Smith or a Plumlee, guys that have been there before? And do you think that has translated over to this locker room?
Yes, I absolutely do. They, you know, coach really talks about Gordon doesn't always say a lot, you know, he's not the most vocal person, but in the huddles and timeouts when the team needs the most, he is absolutely like the calming, consistent factor. Even if he's not, you know, scoring the best that night or whatever it may be, his voice of, he's like voice of reason over these guys, because in every situation that they can face in any game, Gordon has faced it in his career. He knows exactly, you know, those moments and what to do. And, you know, like you said, playoff experience, he knows all that. So having that is going to be so key, because last year he was hurt. So, you know, knock on wood, he's actually been our healthiest Hornet this year in terms of missing the least amount of games. Yeah. So, you know, having him is going to be essential. And same with Ish. I mean, we went on a stretch here just now where we faced one of Ish's former teams for, I don't know, it was like 5 or 6 games. It was, and tomorrow he actually played for OKC for a year too. So we joke about it because he's played, obviously made a very long career for himself and played for multiple teams. So he's seen it all too. And I just, he knows his role and he loves just being, you know, supportive guy for all the young guys. And even things off the court, he's such a good guy to talk to. And we actually took a train ride from New York to Boston. So it was a really good bonding experience for everyone. And they kind of got to, I mean, they all, you know, ride on planes and all that and go to buses and stuff. But this was a 3.5 hour train ride. So it was, and there's no, you know, TVs or anything like that. Yeah, people had their phones and stuff, but it was just a good bonding experience. And I was able to talk to Ish a little bit then, and you know, he was saying that, like, I love to be that guy who it's to help these guys, not just in basketball, but in life. And I feel like having veteran presence like that is so important for such a young team, because it really is. Charlotte is young, and that's how they're finding success with these young guys. But there's always so much more you can learn and know. And I think that's where guys like Gordon and Ish, and like you said, Mason too, man, it's going to be pretty essential when it comes to that playoff push, about your mentality coming into it, what you need to expect. Like, they're going to know what to say to get on the same level. Because of course, Coach Borrego can talk about his experience with the Spurs and Coach Pop, but it's just going to sound different when it comes from a player, one of their teammates. So I think that's going to be pretty essential. And you said it too. They, of course, you're going to take what you can get, but they don't want to make the play-in. They definitely want to be in the top six. So that's kind of the push for now.
Speaking of pushes, the Hornets have made a very creative push, a campaign to get Rozier, Bridges, and Ball to the All-Star game. I'm going to put you on the spot here. Give me like two or three sentences for every player here. Not every player, but, you know, Rozier, Bridges, and Ball. What is your, what is your campaign trying to get them to an All-Star spot?
So for Terry, I know Terry has had his kind of highs and lows during the season. He dealt with some injuries and was on protocol, but you're looking what he's doing the last couple of games, and we talk about this on the pregame show a lot too. When Terry goes off, it usually bodes well for the Hornets. So when you talk about, you know, being an all-star, it's not, it is about the numbers, and I get that, and it's about the flash, and I get that too, and it's a fan vote, media vote, you know, coaches and players vote. But if you talk about how a player changes a franchise, or how they affect a team, or whatever it may be, I think those are things you really need to look at too. And that's something that Terry brings. I mean, the way that he kind of rallies the troops and guys look up to him so much, and you know, when his numbers are what they are, like I said, it usually bodes well in a Hornets win. So kind of encompassing all those, and he's from Cleveland. So I think too, have him go back and be an all-star. You know, we remember when the all-star game was here and Kemba was here, like how special that moment was for him. So that's kind of a couple sentences about that. And then, you know, of course, with LaMelo, you talk about changing a franchise, an organization, a culture. That is LaMelo. I mean, I feel like I could say so many sentences about him, but everybody knows what he brings. And, you know, he's put such a spotlight on this organization and this city. And, you know, it was a ESPN side-by-side game yesterday. And so there's a lot of national attention to that game. And that's what he brings. He brings like a national spotlight to the Charlotte Hornets. So, you know, that alone, plus of course, all of the plays he, I mean, it's phenomenal to see what he can do at such a young age. It's mind blowing sometimes, the passes he makes, the court vision, I mean, the shots that he somehow go in. I don't even understand how it happens. And then just the joy factor too. You know, that's all about changing the culture and changing an organization. He has absolutely done that. He's brought so much joy to the team and to the coaching staff and to this whole organization. So that's kind of my push when it comes to LaMelo, that backs up his stats. And then
Miles, before you get to Miles, we were talking about this on the podcast, and you tell me if you agree or not, but as Hornets fans with LaMelo, I think sometimes we've become, I guess, numb to some of the plays that he makes, because we see it so often, like on a game-to-game basis. Like, you see him make this crazy pass, and at this point, I'm just like, okay, that's expected. But then from like a national perspective, if they're on national TV, everyone's talking about this pass, and us as Hornets fans and followers and stuff like that, we're just like, oh, we see this every day. So I think we do need to appreciate LaMelo a little bit more, but I think because it happens so regularly, we just kind of become numb to it a bit.
Oh, for sure. And like, in that game against Boston, you know, Coach was kind of joking, because of course you can smile after a loss, but LaMelo had a triple-double, but he also had 8 turnovers. And Coach was like, I should have left him in there to give him a quadruple-double with turnovers too. That's what he was saying to us. And I was like, of course he can laugh about it with the win, but it's just a fine line of, because he loves when he's creative offensively, and that's what LaMelo brings, so much creativity offensively. So you don't want that to stop, and you don't want to, you know, punish him for that. He won't do it anymore. So of course it's just walking that fine line of letting him be creative. And yes, we do need to appreciate it, because it is very difficult. The things that he can do, it's mind blowing. I mean, I love talking to Dell about it, because he's played in the league for so long, and yes, the game looks a lot different now than it did when he played, but he really breaks it down into a, like, how difficult is that actual pass, or how difficult is it to really make that shot? And same when we see, like, Miles, some of the dunks that he does, and the fact that he is, can shoot just as easily with his right and his left hand. I mean, that too is something that I feel like everyone needs to appreciate a little bit more. I feel like they don't really notice it, how he can do it with both hands, but to be able to go up and dunk like he does, or make some sort of move and you know, score the layup like he does with either hand is very impressive. And it's something that I think, you know, we kind of take for granted because we just probably don't even really notice it, that he uses both of them. So I completely agree with you. It is definitely something that we're probably just used to, but when you really think about, wow, how did he just make that? Or how did he just see that? Or how did he just pass the ball so perfectly between, you know, 2 7-foot tall players that it got to Mason in time? I mean, it's really incredible when you see it. So just another reason they should be all stars.
Do you have your little campaign for Bridges ready?
Oh yes. Bridges. Bridges is the numbers thing for sure. If you look at game by game and consistency scoring wise, and who can really, I mean, it's Bridges. He just leads the team in so many categories, and so the stats alone back it up. But then when you dig deeper, and you know, just for me being around them almost every day, it's like the growth that he has shown. It's truly, truly tremendous. I remember his rookie year, you know, interviewing him, it was like pulling teeth just to get 2 words out. And now we love when he's on, you know, he's a walk-off interview or whatever it may be. He's just so comfortable. And I know it happened with confidence. And from last year, we kind of saw a lot of it towards the end of last year and all the responsibility he was given last year. And then it rolled over and he had a really, really good summer, a really good off season. And he brought it into this season. The confidence is just kind of soared through, and that's what's helped, I think, with everything. Just being more vocal, opening up. Coach has said multiple times how Miles is the most consistent talker on the team. You know, I don't know if you call him a veteran now. I guess maybe with how young the team is, he is kind of considered a veteran. But in terms of his presence and how he kind of rallies the troops and talks to the team, he is a veteran. He is definitely a leader, veteran of the team. And so that, along with his stats, another reason he should be an all-star. So I could talk about them for forever. And if you don't even look at the numbers, if people just look at the campaign, Buzz City Burgers, are you kidding me? That whole commercial, if anyone hasn't seen it, you got to watch it. Eric Kandela in it. It's so good. So that alone too, the creativity behind Buzz City Burgers should send them there as well.
I wonder who ate all those burgers and fries. Like, was there someone there that was like ready to eat all that stuff up? Cause I can't imagine the players being the only ones eating that.
Well, actually on our post game show, we start doing this thing where Wes Bryant, my co-host, he, after wins, will eat a burger. So it's kind of become a thing now with the Buzz City Burgers being on the post game show after a win. So I don't know who ate them all, but I can't even imagine what the making of that commercial was like. So that, it just looked so fun. And I know they had a really good time doing it. So I think it's just such a wonderful campaign. It's exciting.
Okay. So I reached out to a couple of listeners of the pod and they wanted to relay some questions to you. And this one's from Jake. What has been your most memorable interaction that you've had while working with the Hornets? I'm assuming he means like an interview, but I guess it could mean something else.
I think he's talking about just this year or in general.
I think he just means in general, or if you want to go this year plus in general, or just, you know, keep it to this year. It's really up to you.
Yeah. Well, there's a couple moments that definitely stick out. Like one, you know, when Kemba was an all-star and the all-star game was here in Charlotte, that whole thing was just, you know, was so great. And we got to follow him around and we shot so many interviews and video and everything like that. And I know it was a really hectic, busy weekend for him, but I just felt like it was so special. And we got to see Kemba when we were in New York, of course, playing the Knicks. And man, he is just the exact same person. As I only got to spend a little bit of time with him, but you know, for like Dell and Eric, who have got to kind of see him over the years, he is literally the same person. Just so humble and nice and kind. He came over to us and talked to us, and you know, not a lot of players would do that. So I just respect him so much. And I think that was really a special moment, just the whole All-Star weekend being here in Charlotte. And then in terms of this year, you know, I think There are definitely some interviews that stick out. I know one in particular when I interviewed LaMelo, and he said that key to his success was H2O water, and I think it like went viral. So, which is kind of funny because most of his interviews I feel like get a lot of views. It's really funny when we, you know, when the game's winding down, and if we think we can hold on and get the win, we of course talk about real quick who do we think we should interview, and if it's between two people, you know, my producer, we usually land on LaMelo just because, you know, people will be very tuned in and interested as to what he's going to say. Cause it's so, you just never know what he's going to say. So, I think that was a pretty memorable one as well. And then in terms of just like wins and games in particular, this last week was really special. Just being able to, you know, they won four in a row, you know, beating Milwaukee twice.
Right.
And then breaking the losing streak, like a 14 game losing streak over the Sixers, at Philly, was incredible. And then, you know, getting a win at MSG, they haven't been able to win in that building in so long. And then the same with Boston, being able to win at TD Garden, something they hadn't done in a really long time as well. I think both of those were like back to 2016. So it's been a good while. And I just think this whole last week, I was kind of reflecting on it, just thinking like, wow, you know, the two wins over Milwaukee, it wasn't like Giannis was out or because everyone, of course, checks that just to see if all their star people are in. But no, everybody was in. The Hornets beat them, not just once, but twice. So, like, so it wasn't just like a fluke win or whatever you may call it. It was really, you know, showed what they're capable of. So I think this last week was just really special. And a lot of good things happened. A lot of streaks were broken and a lot of big wins happened. So I think that's some of my favorites so far. I'm sure we'll have more moments to come this next half of the season, but those are some, I hope I answered this question.
No, perfect. 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 This one is from Drew. What is your favorite arena to visit? And I don't know if necessarily if he means city as well, but either or.
I don't know. Cause in terms of like special places, like MSG is just, you feel iconic when you're in there. It's just like, wow, you're at Madison Square Garden. So, and you know, being in the Big Apple in New York City, I feel like that's definitely one of my favorites. And then, man, that's hard because obviously in LA it's always fun and flashy and all that stuff. But in terms of just like really nice arenas, I don't know. I guess I'll go on different different spots for him. Like Milwaukee has a very, very nice arena. It's like pretty obviously brand new and they're national champs. So they have like a, they have a, their bench is like heated seats and they like move up and down. They're like automatic and it's just a very, very nice arena. I always talk about this too, in terms of where I sit as the sideline reporter. It always makes me have different favorite, you know, arenas too. For instance, in Orlando, I have a really good seat, like right behind the basket lifted. And, you know, you can just see everything really clearly. And because I always have a monitor in front of me, but when I am in there in an arena where I don't have to rely on the monitor because I'm actually right in front of the action, right, I always really appreciate that. So arenas like that too, but I think, you know, Madison Square Garden, definitely a good one. And in LA it's fun too. And then some of the cities like Portland's really fun to me. I like when we stay in places where you can walk to everything. So those are kind of some of the things that I look for, but those are some fun ones.
And you probably don't have too much time to enjoy the city considering like, you know, the NBA is so hectic.
Yeah. Yeah. The only time we really can, like we had a true, true off day in Boston where we got in the night before, we had the whole day off and then we played the next day. That does not happen very often. Yeah, you're right about that. So it's kind of nice when, you know, you are able to, it was a very cold though. The wind was unbelievably chilly in Boston. There's no snow, but it was very cold, but I always, anywhere you can just walk. I love it so much. Like Chicago, so fun. Just to be able to walk around and see things. So I'm for any one of those places.
All right, this is the last question before we get to the game at the end of the podcast here. This one is from Kevin. He says, what is it like working with Eric Collins? Is he as exuberant doing ordinary things before the broadcast?
Yes, he is. It's so funny because when people finally, you know, if they get to talk to him and spend time with him and really meet him, he's a walking encyclopedia. So all, you know, during the game when he's given these facts and just random knowledge about players that you're like, how do you even know that? Or, you know, I love Dell's comments when Eric will say something like, you know, I don't even know. I can't even, right. You know, describe what he says, but just anything random. And Dell kind of like, how do you know that? Or why do you even know that? So information like that, he does that in real life too. And it's so fun because when we land somewhere and get on the bus and drive to our hotel, he is like a walking tour guide. And I don't know how he knows everything about every city, but he'll always tell me like, hey, we're passing this river. Hey, that building is famous for this reason. Or, hey, you see that, you know, bridge over there? That's where blah, blah, blah became. I don't even know. I mean, he just knows everything. So in terms of, yes, he definitely brings the energy. He drinks 1 5-hour energy before every game. He does not drink coffee. So no like caffeine or anything. That the only caffeine source is 1 5-hour energy that he takes during our production meeting. So I don't know if it's that, but I don't even think he really needs that, to be honest. I think he would be just the same if he didn't have it. So maybe it's a mental thing for him, but he definitely is the exact same person, minus a couple of the like miles, bridges. Like he doesn't always say that out loud, but yeah, he is pretty much the same person.
All right. So speaking of Eric Collins, this is going to transition right into our game. And we played a game last time we came on and you accused me of making it too difficult.
Ricky, yes, you definitely threw me under the bus that last time.
So we are also going to play a game, but some of these will be multiple choice and true false. So I will make it a little bit easier. You'll have options. So here are the rules of the game. I'm going to play a soundbite from Eric Collins, and one of the words will be censored or bleeped out. Your job is to guess the word that's missing. And again, some of these are going to be true, false. Some of these are going to be multiple choice. And then some of them, I'm just going to make you try to guess without those options. There's going to be six of these. My goal for you is to get four. So any questions before we begin? Any questions?
No, I love this. Okay, let's do it.
Okay, so I'll give a little bit of background information about the clip, but I'm not really sure that'll help you that much. This one's actually recent. It was from Miles Bridges' like career high game in Madison Square Garden, where he was just kind of going off with his floaters. This clip is the longest one, and okay. So just bear with it. It's towards the end, and here it goes.
Bridges.
Just playing around New York City park style, off the glass floaters using the rim, backboard, whatever you want. Hotter than a Phoenix.
Hotter than a fur coat in Phoenix.
Wow, that is. I was going to give you multiple choice for that. Okay, so then there we go. These are fun. These are funny to me just because the bleeps. I don't know why. Like,
oh, it's so good.
Your mind can go anywhere. So your mind can go anywhere. Okay, so that's. One for one. I didn't even need multiple choice for that one.
Oh, man.
Okay. This next one is probably the quickest. So just pay attention. This is from January 5th, where Kelly Oubre hit 8 3-pointers.
Oh, okay.
In the fourth. You may know this. So here we go.
Fifth into the ball game for the sole purpose of setting up Kelly Oubre.
Shoot it!
From road!
From blank road.
Oh, is it Sardis Road?
From Sardis Road. You know where that is, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, sort of, yes. But yes, I remember that. Is it really Sardis? I couldn't remember if that's exactly what he said.
It is Sardis.
Oh, yay, okay. Yes, I remember that. That was fun. That was a fun one, too.
Yeah,
these... This is so funny. I mean, I told Eric one day I'm going to write a book of all his phrases. So I think this is getting me on the right path because I can memorize them. I didn't know I had these back in, you know, stored in my brain, but I guess I do. So thank you, Izzy, for letting me know.
So my question is like, I'm assuming you have an earpiece of their broadcast, but is there ever a point where like, not that you want to mute them or like, do you like have to mute them to talk to someone else? Like, how does that work? I mean, there's like a lot of technicalities in this, but.
Right. So I do. I have my IFB and I like to listen to our entire broadcast.
Gotcha.
So I'm always trying to listen to, cause when I, you know, chime in, Eric will usually toss it to me or throw it to me. So obviously I want to hear what they're saying, or I love interacting with them. So I am listening to the entire broadcast. It is hard when people are talking to you because I do have to turn them down because that's the only time I really can't. But when I'm talking, I obviously hear my voice
right
in it. But yeah, I like to interact with them. So I always listen to the whole thing. So maybe that's why I have these memorized. And I'll always laugh at them. And then I'll always either text them during it and like, oh, that one was a good one. Or Dell's reaction was hilarious. And my producer and I are usually laughing over something Eric said. So it's one big happy family.
All right. No, well, you're 2 for 2. So here's number 3. This is probably my favorite one of the bunch. And this one does not have a multiple choice. So you'll have to get this without my help. This is also okay. From the MLK matinee game in New York. Speaking about okay. Miles Bridges again. So here's another saying about Miles Bridges.
What shot? How quick was that? Miles, another right-handed floater.
And the defender just knows Miles is a left-handed player. Shades him to go right, and that is playing to right into what he wants to do. Everything he's done this first quarter being the right hand.
Moving faster than a tornado, Miles Bridges.
Faster than a two-play in a tornado.
All right, moving faster moving faster than a toupee and a tornado. Oh my goodness!
Yes.
I should have set the bar at 6 for 6 here. We're almost there.
Now I'm in it. Yeah, now I'm motivated. Got to get them all.
Yeah. Now this next one is a little bit harder to hear, and it actually wasn't within the game. So this actually might be maybe harder for you. Maybe you were doing something during this time. It was during a break, and they were describing Terry Rozier, who had just like rolled his ankle. And this was in the second game of the season. So this is going back even farther. And basically he was talking about his toughness. And so here it is. He's describing Terry Rozier's toughness.
Yeah, the best trainer in the business, Joe Sharp, over at tennis tournament, just laced up. The room was a little tighter.
Yeah, look at Terry's walking away from Joe. Tougher than a alley cat. This has not been his homecoming that he expected.
All right, so this is true or false. Tougher than a blank alley cat. True or false? Did he say tougher than a one-eared alley cat?
True.
That is true. Ding, ding, ding.
Yes.
Now,
tougher than a one-eared alley cat.
Would you have gotten that without?
Yes, I did know that one. He does say that one quite a bit. And then also tougher than tortoise toenails, which is kind of disgusting, but also one of our favorites that he uses. But the one-eared alley cat one, I feel like he uses the most. Or tougher than walrus crystal, I think.
Yes.
Walrus crystal, yeah. That's another one, but. The tortoise toenails and the one-eared alley cat stuck in my brain forever.
All right. 2 more questions. You're 4 for 4, so you've already met the standard here. And this one was actually not about a hornet. It was about the Grizzlies' Steven Adams before he was going to the free throw line. And same thing, they were discussing him as a tough player. And it's funny, you actually had a story right after he went to the line.
Yes.
And you were talking about how he was voted by the players as one of the dirtiest players.
Mm-hmm.
And so here is Eric Collins describing Steven Adams.
He stepped on Richard's with his left foot, and then again on with the right.
He gargles. All right, so Steven Adams has missed 2 free throws in a row. Uh-oh, all is lost with the Adams family. Let's check in with Ashley.
All right, let's check in with Ashley. He gargles.
He gargles.
Gargles blank. This is multiple choice, or do you think you know it without the multiple choice?
I might know it. I think I do, but I could be totally wrong. I think it's he gargled thumbtacks.
Oh my goodness. You are correct again. Yes.
Oh, yes. Okay. I knew it was like nails or like, I don't know what, but yeah, thumbtacks. Okay.
maybe the multiple choice would have like given you pause. Cause I had thumbtacks, box cutters, fishing hooks, and safety pins.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. I think. Yeah, because I literally like hear him saying it as you're. It's very impressive that you went back and got all these clips.
This I'm not even allowed. This actually took me a lot of time. I will say that I did not watch most of the Boston game because I was doing this. So I'm gonna have to rewatch that Boston game later. But this was worth it. I'm just laughing at
you. Know what? We need to borrow this. Can we put this on our pregame show?
Do it.
Film, like, this is awesome.
Fill in the blank. Yeah. Last one. This one is like the most clever of them all in the sense that like not a lot of people get it right away in the sense that like it kind of has like a wittiness to it. Now, this is a throwback. Okay. This is actually from last year, January 2nd of last year. It was a game between the Hornets and Sixers. Embiid was complaining to the refs. Eric and Dell were just shown like a replay of Hayward kind of using his offhand to create some, you know, some space. And Embiid just kind of flops and tumbles over. And Eric Collins is just kind of like flabbergasted that he, a big guy, could be falling over after Hayward. So I don't know if you'll get this one. And I actually didn't make this true or false or multiple choice. But okay. Here is the last one.
Oh, man. Come on.
He's going to get a letter from the league for that.
Weaker than a pack of a in the ocean. There's no way he falls down in that contest.
Weaker than a pack of blank in the ocean.
Oh, man. He doesn't use that one often.
No, I actually don't really remember this one, but I was able to somehow find it. And I, yeah, like I said, I don't know if he's used it often.
Yeah, I wish I could phone a friend for this. Okay, weaker than a pack of something in the ocean. Wait. I know he's used, I don't think this is the answer, but I know he's used like a tea bag in the ocean. But I don't know.
I'll accept it. He says a pack of iced tea.
Oh, okay. It is. Okay. Yeah. He has used that.
Yeah. Here's the audio.
He's going to get a letter from the league for that.
Weaker than a pack of iced tea in the ocean. There's no way he falls down in that contest.
Yes, he's definitely used something along those lines. So, wow, Richie, this is awesome. Seriously, I'm going to talk to my producer. We need to use this on the premium show.
Yeah, feel free. Yeah, so.
We'll give you all the credit.
That's fine. Just don't use the country one because I heard that one was too hard.
That one was very hard. You redeemed yourself. Now we just need to find, not that this was easy, but we can find middle ground for the next time.
Yeah, I think the average person might get 4 out of 6, but you who listens to all the broadcasts get 6 out of 6.
Yeah, so that is true.
Thank you again, Ashley, for joining the podcast. We always enjoy your insight and we hope to get you on again soon.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you so much. It's always so much fun getting to hang out with you. So I appreciate it, Richie, and go Hornets.